The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lou Need, and today I have the honor of introducing a very special guest to the show, Ranjit Modolkar. Now, he is a visionary. He is the founder of the Next League program. Ranjit is transforming the pathway to the EB1A green card process. He's helping professionals achieve their American dream. And he is doing this by helping them land their job and the perfect job in 6 months without sponsors, lottery, or over $1 million of investment. Now, this is huge because we know the need to actually get sponsors. It's quite an extensive process. And Ranjit has a way of simplifying it. And his coaching guides individuals to evolve as the best version of themselves towards the EB1 readiness. And so he is the guiding light for individuals seeking U.S. residency. His coaching unlocks success, and his mission is very simple: to help individuals achieve their American dream. I'm really excited to have him on board. So with no further ado, Ranjit, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure having you on the show. Go ahead and give us a little history to how this all came about, how you got into coaching, and specifically for the EB1A green card.
Wonderful. I have always been essentially an educationist all my life. At 24, I was youngest director of one of the leading business schools in India called Symbiosis Institute. Mm-hmm. I was managing the business school for over 5 years actually there. Then I was a CEO of Financial Planning Standards Board, mm-hmm. where I was guiding and helping over, I think some 30, 40,000 financial planners. Yeah. Towards their education certification. And I wanted to widen my horizons. So in my own accord, I chose to, kind of move towards USA. I applied for EB1A green card myself. Mm-hmm. For EB1A green card, you don't need a sponsor, a lottery, or have a major investment. And it helped me to become the best version of myself and apply for the US green card and eventually citizenship. Mm-hmm. Many people after that approached me whether I could potentially help them, because for especially Indians and Chinese, the green card wait period under different other categories is around 25 to 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And if you apply for green card, because the prima facie requirement for green card is that, you should be a Nobel Prize winner or an Oscar or an Olympian. But if you are an expert in your own field, and if you are able to determine certain success metrics and the impact factor, you could get it very quickly, if not in months, at least in 1 or 2 years for Indians even right now. So that helps to do it. And as I said, that I have always been an educationist, and helping people has always been my motivation. And this was something which I felt was a very natural flow in my professional realm. And this is how I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to transform people. It's a transformation coaching program to a large extent.
That is impressive. I mean, you are shaving off years off the process itself, getting people ready within 1 to 2 years with outlining as the expert matter, right? Is that how it's done?
Absolutely. So it is done in a sense that, the law warrants that you should be a person of a certain caliber of a highest level possible. The law says that, okay, you should be in the top 1% of your field. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole idea is that how do you determine yourself to be the top 1% when you don't have a Nobel Prize or an Oscar, is that demonstrating how many lives that you have changed. The EB-1A green card is colloquially called as Einstein visa or a genius visa. It's essentially EB-1A, which stands for extraordinary ability.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, otherwise it becomes a very, very daunting process to kind of visualize, oh, you know, whether I do really qualify for this or not. Mm-hmm. Whether it is only for people who have, you know, PhDs or citations and huge number of, you know, following. No, it's not really like this. I always tell people two things. I can tell you as my dictum for this particular purpose, that you don't have to be extraordinary in that sense. You have to actually try to do ordinary things in an extraordinary way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I would like to look at it. Another aspect is that for this purpose of EB-1A green card, you know, many people believe that they need to be a celebrity mm-hmm. for this purpose. In my view, you don't have to be celebrity, but your work has to be celebrated.
Now,
if you are able to present to the government the impact of your work consistently, so we do it by following a certain process for the people. It is called Dunn process. And we try to, there are acronyms stands for Dunn is define, organize, nurture, and execute.
Mm-hmm.
So we follow that process. We so far have had over 15 people who have got EB-1A achievement so far, actually, by virtue of following the certain process that we do.
That is quite impressive. And in this, the measuring metric, you're measuring not just their hard skills, but their soft skills as well, people skills. Like, I figured all that comes into as part of the package.
Well, it is, frankly speaking, your skills and knowledge are just leverage points to create that impact factor. Let me give you an example here. You know, let's say, for example, Steve Jobs, he's truly an extraordinary person. Now, the real test of a true extraordinary person can be done in two ways. The first is, number one, I mean, you know, we all of us associate ourselves or get too much attached to our jobs, education, qualifications, and the material wealth what we have.
Yeah.
These are the three things. The real test of an extraordinary person is, what if you don't have any one of them? Okay. So, for example, if you take Elon Musk, for example, so if you were to kind of remove, take away all his $350 billion today, take away his education degrees, and take away, you know, whatever qualifications or whatever he has. I think we all know possibly there is no reason why it should not happen. In next 1 year, he will make another couple of billions.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's the spirit of an extraordinary ability person. So, in fact, the regulations state that for EB-1A, you don't need to have any education qualifications, you don't need to have any money, or you don't even have to have any job, and you can be in any part of the world. Now, even if somebody is working in large Fortune 500 company earning $1 million, still he may not qualify for EB-1A. Yet a person who is really good in what he does or she does could potentially qualify. So that's the first test of, like, what are you without your job, without your qualifications, and without your degrees? That's the first test of somebody truly being an extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And the second test potentially could be like, how many lives you have impacted by virtue of your work, not for yourself, but for others. Let's say, for example, if you have to scribble down on a piece of paper, and I love to tell my students who are there, what would be the world look like if you were not even born without your expertise? Now, let's take a case of certain actors who have been very good, people like Steve Jobs. We would not have Apple. What would happen if, Elon Musk were not there? So how would the world look like without you? Now, if you can put that as a test, I think it's going to be really wonderful, actually.
Yeah. I'm curious to the next league program, to how you use the strategies to help, you know, I imagine some engineer, right? There's an engineer who wants to come over. How do you get increase their chances becoming eligible?
Okay. The first thing would be that, okay, fine, if you just say that you are an engineer or, you know, I'm an IT software engineer or a mechanical engineer, that would not serve the purpose. The question is, what is your niche area in that particular expertise? Mm-hmm. For example, we did have an IT engineer and, you know, one particular IT software engineer, and he was very good for software performance testing. Now, even if you're a software, he had to kind of be best in the world in the software performance testing.
Right.
It's a very unique skill. You don't have to be Einstein for this, but you have to be Einstein in your own field. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So that is the first step, is defining your expertise. Now, obviously, before you become an expert at a very global level, you have to start somewhere, but defining your expertise. And then you have to craft or create a certain degree of pathways. Now, how do you create that pathway is by creating certain milestones. So the second step is organize, where you have to actually determine to create that particular, the process of milestones. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The third step is you have to fulfill those milestones, which is nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this particular nurture, what happens is that, you know, many people do it in a very random manner, like, you know, trying to go to some conferences, just trying to get some degrees. People even apply for PhDs, even if whether they're interested in research or not. But this particular aspect, if you follow a process in a milestonic manner, it is going to help you to kind of achieve certain goals. And that will take you closer to it. That could mean trying to get some awards, trying to get some prestigious membership, getting some media highlights. You know, trying to augment your income, try to contribute originally something in your field, try to excel in the job that what you are doing, doing some events and seminars. You know, these are some of the things that one needs to do. So the first step is define. Second step is organize. Third step is nurture. And the fourth step after this is execute, where you actually, you know, start preparing your application, work with a lawyer. And I'm there to kind of work with you along with your lawyer to help you navigate through the entire process. So that's the whole, you know, kind of approach that one needs to follow.
Mm-hmm. And they'll need a platform for that. And how do you see social media help enhance them in that pathway to success?
Okay. Now, traditionally, USCIS has been very old school approach. Okay, you have to go to conferences, you have to go to it. But recently, USCIS came up with a notification. I think it was in 2022, possibly, during COVID time, especially. I think immediately after COVID, where they were allowing people to consider even online forums,
mm-hmm.
participation in online forums for this particular purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So where everything's gone virtual, like they're providing access that way, give them a presence online.
Absolutely. But you know, the online media to determine a global impact looks very easy, but very difficult, because you have to be an expert that is being communicated. You see, you can't have, 2 million followers or 250,000 followers on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram and say that I'm an expert. followership does not make it. The question is that what is the impact of your work that needs to get determined? And social media is just one of the channels to create an outreach to have that impact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you need to be a speaker, be well sought out as an expert in your field.
You can use social media to create
market
that outreach to our online medium. Like, let's say I'm using Zoom, I can create a LinkedIn live event. But who are my audience? How did this impact them? What did I communicate? What was my outreach? That is more important. I cannot just go and talk and blabber something and just try to expect that I will get Einstein visa. That will not work.
Yeah. What are some other challenges? You mentioned a few of them. What are some other challenges that you face when individuals are trying to come here and become U.S. citizens, residents, getting their residency?
I think from the purpose of EB1A, I would say there are three dimensions or three challenges that people feel. The first is defining your expertise. Rather than you to try to do it in a very, very generic manner, and we would like to do it in a very focused and a specific manner. Okay? The second challenge which people feel is understanding the whole concept of immigration, EB1A jurisprudence. Okay, what is USCIS is looking for? What is the purpose of this EB1A green card? What is the motivation for this? Okay, why should you be considered? Why US wants you? Or why should they want you at the first place? I think understanding the whole concept is very kind of daunting for them actually. Mm-hmm. And the last step is how to present yourself. It is not about EB1A. While you need to produce exhaustive documentation, but it is not about only presenting documents. It's about you demonstrating that you are best version of yourself. Number two, you are extraordinary in your own right. And another way to look at it is, while you know in every field you may, there is no Nobel Prize, Oscar or Olympic. But if there were a Nobel Prize, you would be one of the contenders for that. Hmm. Okay?
Big shoes to fill. This is no small task.
I think the task is not about being small or big. It is about you just being consistent in what you do. You should enjoy what you like to do. You, even if you say that, okay. And another aspect is that you need to be, for the purpose of EB1A, if you are choosing sciences, business, you need to be more at a knowledge realm of any expertise. For example, you can't say that I'm a best Excel user and a data entry operator and give me EB1A, that will not work.
Yeah.
So you need to be, even if you are the best data entry operator and Bill Gates were to give you a letter, that won't be helpful for you.
Yeah, walk us through the process for those who don't understand. Is there an interview process? Is there an interview that takes place after you submit your application? And how extensive is that?
Well, the application process is very, it's like this. It's very exhaustive. As far as from the program perspective, we always say that, you know, there is a process that you should be follow. But essentially, there are three stages in every success that you want to achieve in life. Let's say I want to climb Mount Everest. Okay, there are situations and circumstances we have seen that the best, even unfortunately, people who were handicapped, even those guys have reached Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of success stories. Now, in this particular case, what happens is that, you know, anything that you want to achieve, whether it is EB1A green card or somebody who wants to achieve something in life, initially there is always an excitement. Or, you know, let's say you want to go to gym. So you buy new clothes, you buy new shoes, you kind of are happy about it. On 1st of January, everybody would make a resolution that they would go to gym and reduce weight or have a diet plan. So initial phase is very exciting. It lasts normally for, I think, maximum 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. Normally. Now, the second stage that happens is you get two options. One path is, oh, I don't want to do it. It's because the processes gets very repetitive. There is nothing more that you can do. You feel there is no challenge. There is no excitement. Okay, but if you enjoy the process, you continue to forge ahead in spite of the fact that it may be very tiring or very boring for you at times. The key word is boredom, and our mind tries to trick us into believing that it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the stage where people have to realize that, I mean, I'm going to make a very loaded statement possibly, that I think from an evolutionary standpoint, we are happy to have our basic needs fulfilled.
Yeah.
If you're getting food, if you're getting shelter, if you're getting all our needs, I mean, I think you're pretty happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see excellence not as a challenge to evolve, but you see success as just an opportunity. If you get it, it is good. If it does not get it, you are okay. If that is the approach you are following, then there is no purpose. There is no why. The second stage in any success, including the EB1A green card, test your challenge actually. And we have seen that happening with people, that there are many people will face challenge and they will want to give up that. And then comes the third stage, which is even more difficult, where you have to put in, it's like, you know, if you try to climb Mount Everest, if you have met somebody, they will tell you the last phase is very important. There is a typical thing in mountaineering, I must share with you, that, you know, when you start climbing high altitudes, you have to climb, you know, let's say 100 meters and come down 40 meters.
Mm.
You have to again go 200 meters and come down 150 meters. because you need to get acclimatized to that
altitude.
Now, this going coming down is very boring and very tiring. It's not boring. You have already crossed that stage in the second step. But that last stage is like you are going up, you are going down. You are going up and you are going down. So every day, basically, you are just moving a little bit only. And that creates a frustration. And you have to overcome that frustration to reach that.
Yeah.
Once you are able to do that, then success will be at your feet. So it is not about only EB1A. You have to come to a realization that EB1A is not just a green card. So finally, I always tell my students that it's like this. You know, when you're applying for a green card, it's like you are talking to the White House and talking to the man out there that, okay, look, you know, I am so-and-so. I know there are millions of people who are wanting to immigrate to this country and they're waiting in queue. I'm an expert in this field. This is how the United States will benefit because of my expertise. Please give me a green card in 15 days. And write on the green card that I'm a person of extraordinary ability. Now, you have to reach that level of vibration, that level of tonality, and you really need to be kind of confident about yourself in what you're saying. And if you're able to do that, then the success will be yours. Okay?
Yeah, that makes total sense. It's applicable across all life and success, anything that you want to achieve. I like that method that you approach it with. Now, let's talk about some of the things that you probably tell your clients about. How do you, you know, set up yourself to show up your best self every day? What's your morning routine like? What are some of the things that you put in place that are non-negotiable?
If you honestly ask me, I think the one of the things is that if you have to start your day with gratitude.
Right. And
it's not a rocket science. I mean, if you, I think, talk to 100 successful people or 100 people who have achieved something in life, what I have learned is that starting your day with gratitude puts you, by default, puts a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Okay. And you tend to look at the beauty around you, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not only about gratitude, because that gratitude has to be in action. So you try to do something more constructively for somebody to put in a smile on other person's face for a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to make it very simple. It's not about your EB1A. It's not about, you know, achieving something, but I think if you follow this, I think more than anything else, you will become a good human being. So start by becoming a good human being. And the best is to have a gratitude and gratitude in action. You don't have to, you know, become Dalai Lama or Mother Teresa overnight, I would say. Mm-hmm. But don't try to aim that, but try to be Mother Teresa or Dalai Lama to your children, to your spouses, to your neighbors. I think that is good enough.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. And the act of gratitude, it breeds more things to be grateful for. When you start your day that way, you start noticing you have a new perspective. You start noticing more things that is more prominent in your life that you are grateful for, that you're thankful to have. Just as you mentioned about just the basic needs, that is taken care of. That's enough to be grateful for, just a glass of clean water. I'm from Haiti, and sometimes we don't always have fresh, clean water. And that's the first thing I'm grateful for usually in the morning. You know, it's the simplest thing, but it goes beyond, okay, I'm grateful for my business. I'm grateful for all these other things, but it starts small.
Absolutely. I'm in sync with you for this.
Yeah. Any other things that you do to prep you for the morning, for the day?
Well, I think you need to keep your mind, body, and soul in alignment. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing. Take a walk in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't have to do, you know, high intensity workouts. The idea is to keep yourself calm.
Move the body.
Yeah. You have to keep your, what we are living in this body. So we need to be respectful towards it. As simple as that.
Yeah.
If you are able to keep it calm, keep it sound, I think that's good. So automatically, I think your soul will be sound. So keeping your mind, body, and soul in alignment with each other, it does not make sense that your mind is going somewhere, your body is taking you somewhere else. And your soul is completely, will be disoriented. So you just need to have, you know, kind of put all three of them together. So mm-hmm. You have to just, you know, kind of make a little effort so that all three of them are together. It's not I like to keep things very simple here. So it's the way I would like to say. So you asked about morning routine, and that's about your whole podcast all about. So let's say You get up in the morning, have gratitude, put a smile, try to give a smile on somebody else for the day in the morning. You know, respect towards your body. So if your body is in alignment, then because we are so far attached to the body. So yeah. If you're attached to the body, so you need to respect it. So if you have to, it's like cleaning up your house.
Mm-hmm.
So you get why we clean our house? So we have the same thing, is that our bodies are house actually. So from that perspective, if you see, you have to be respectful towards it. So mm-hmm. If you keep mind, body and soul in alignment, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. You speak of alignment, and the word that comes to mind is spirituality and vibration, right? So we want to share a little more about the importance of that, because we're not just physical. You were saying we're more than that.
Yeah, I mean, there are too many people talk about it, so I don't want to refrain myself to get into the philosophy aspect of it. But my concept, I don't want to use the word even philosophy here.
Yeah.
My concept has always been to keep things in a more granular and a simple way.
Mm-hmm.
As an educationist, I've always tried to, you know, do things for others, and I see other people's success as my success.
Yeah.
So there is always us everywhere. And, you know, rather than talking about, vibration, you know, talking about spirituality, I don't like to dwell. I'm not competent, or I would be very honest with you, I may not be qualified. There are far other people superior who can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
From a technical perspective, or from a perspective of, let's say, manifestation, and other people, I think, who talk about it, you have to be in alignment with the universe and all those things. I don't want to go there also at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think even if you are living in a moment, I think that is a good enough. You have made your day.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, if you are in a moment, for a moment, I think that's good enough. I would say that.
Right. Yeah, being present, right? Being present and acknowledging where you are. And I like that you mentioned we're connected, and that needs to be said sometimes. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Ranjit, tell us, where can we connect with you? Where can we find you?
Absolutely. We have a website called nextleakprogram.com. People could reach out to me there. The link I have already given you. Mm-hmm. The second would be to come on my LinkedIn profile. One could connect with me there as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing with me. I really appreciate your insight and all the amazing work you're doing with the Next League program. It's been an honor sitting with you today.
Thank you very much. It has been great honor. Likewise.
Pleasure.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.